crude laboratory in the basement of his home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today we have an absolutely tremendous episode for you. We're going to be talking with Ciara Gravier, the founder of The Bunker Insurance down in Florida, doing tremendous stuff. Commercial lines agency, loves Ciara. She's an absolute killer, great at branding, great insurance agent, great agency owner, and someone I've wanted to have on the show for a long time, and glad that we finally got a chance to spend some time. I think the world of the way she thinks, tremendous respect for what she's doing, and just very happy to share her thoughts, her experience, and her story with you guys. You're going to love this episode. Before we get there, I want to give a quick shout out to our newest sponsor here on The Ryan Hanley Show, Pathpoint. Pathpoint is a technology platform, a digital E&S wholesaler, enabling agents to get instant, bindable E&S quotes in minutes, upfront. It's easy. This is one of the platforms making it possible for Rogue Risk to dominate small business, because we've partnered with platforms like Pathpoint that just make E&S that kind of change the game from E&S being something that you struggle with to something that becomes a simple part of your business that you can serve these customers, and really takes all the awfulness out of E&S, and Pathpoint is a big part of our program here at Rogue Risk. So I encourage you to go to pathpoint.com. That's pathpoint.com. Guys, if you write E&S business for commercial, if you're writing E&S business, go to pathpoint.com today. Check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. Also want to give a big shout out to Propeller Bonds. Wrote three more bonds last week with Propeller Bonds. Guys, for simple, straightforward bonds, for getting your clients what they need quickly, a lot of our clients have bonding issues in a pinch, right? They're not even aware that they need a bond, and all of a sudden it just, you know, a requirement comes across their desk. Hey, to get on this job or to do this work, you need a bond, and they're scrambling. And the traditional bond process is just terrible. It just takes so long, and there's stamps involved and all this crazy stuff. And Propeller Bonds has completely changed the game. We use Propeller Bonds every day. Go to propellerbonds.com, propellerbonds.com, propellerbonds.com. Change your bonding game. E&S and bonding. Who thought this would be the next phase of the independent insurance agency world domination plan? I did. That's why they're sponsors. Here we go.
Hey,
what's up?
How are you?
I'm good.
How's it going?
Oh, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Cranking along, you know, trying to solve all the problems that came up from Friday at 5 o'clock till this morning.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I get that. I can't believe we weren't connected on LinkedIn. I always pull up someone's LinkedIn and I was like, oh, shoot. Hi. We're remedying that problem
as we speak. Immediately.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to have you on the show. It's, you know, I've been a fan from afar for a while, and just obviously every time I talk to Carruthers, he's like, oh, see what Ciara's doing? Oh, see what Ciara's doing? I was like,
aww.
I follow on social. So I'm just excited
to have you on the show.
What?
I said, except LinkedIn, apparently.
Because it's funny how, and this is just a funny thing about the internet, like, if you follow someone one place, which I think the place is probably LinkedIn and Facebook. I know we're connected in those two places. You just kind of, like, assume that you're connected in all the places.
Everywhere, right.
Yeah, because, you know, in my mind, if someone had, I mean, not that anyone, like, goes around and, like, hey, insurance agent, are you connected to this other insurance? Not that that's like a video or like a game show or whatever, but I would have said 100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. But all good. I appreciate you taking some time. I know you're busy and running the agency and everything, but I think you have a super cool story. I know you've told it on David's podcast, but no one listens to that podcast. So. I want to get it out to the broader market. No, I'm kidding. And I just wanted to, you know, I got a whole bunch of questions I want to ask and stuff. So
I have some questions for you, honestly.
Yeah, hey, you can fire away too.
I got a couple.
This is a conversation. It is not a an inquisition. So you you can flip the script whenever you feel you want to. But I guess my first question is always in scenarios like yours, like why start your own agency? It's so friggin' hard.
We started around the same time. I guess I started a couple months before you.
Yeah. I think you're just like 6 months before.
Yeah, November-ish. We had started a little on paper. We started it earlier, but we weren't really doing anything.
Yeah. So that's not even 6 months, because I was like 5 months, maybe 4 or 5 months. I was very beginning of March of 2020 is when we launched.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was like November 2019.
Yeah.
You know, we've had several agencies in my family, like, you know, my dad had small states before, and my parents always worked for corporate America, and they were tired of being abused, really, in that, and being overworked. And at 49, my dad was like, I've had enough, and I'm going to open an Allstate. And so I was with him during those long, hard days of, we started from scratch, zero. We didn't buy a book. You know, and we built it up, and then we figured out that every Allstate agent has an independent on the side. So then I opened up my independent. I was upstairs, he was downstairs. And so he would just, you know, walk. At that time, people still came into the office, right?
Yeah,
so like he would walk people upstairs. And then there was way more money to be made on this side. So we got rid of the Allstates. We had two locations, got rid of those, kept the independent, and then he ended up taking that over, and he sold, and now he's retired. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do? Right. I'm still young.
Yeah.
So he always made it a point to tell me, listen, if you're going to stay in this industry, make it your career. So he was one of the people, he was always after me, get your designations. You're going to have to set yourself apart because you're young and you're a woman. It is what it is.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, I have a couple designations. He was like, you just have to show that you're invested in this as your career. It's not like you're trying it out, you know? So that's what I did. And then what am I going to do? You know, I liked the agency side. I hadn't really worked for anyone ever outside of high school. Yeah. I had a job in high school at a veterinarian office, which I loved because I love dogs, but you know, from working for my dad and responding to him as a boss to going, I've never done it.
Yep.
I've been very fortunate with that. So he was just like, just be your own boss. You can do it. We've done it twice. This is what, you know, and I was like, and he, you know, gave me the platform to try it again. He always pushes me to just try it again. And I'm like, well, yeah, I think I should. And then here I am doing commercial only.
Yeah. Okay. So this might be trivial, but did you ever regret letting the Allstate brands go? Was that a good lead gen or no?
Yeah. We never regret it ever.
Yeah.
We didn't regret it ever. We learned a lot with Allstate as far as underwriting. I think that it's very good training for someone that has no knowledge of insurance.
Yeah.
Very good training because at least at that time, I'm talking 20 years ago, you know, they were very hands-on. Almost too hands-on. And then once you got the hang of it and they still were hands-on, it's like, all right, I got it. You know, I know how to do it now. But we learned a lot. And we've been very successful with kind of being underwriters up front. You know, we don't write bad business. Even at our independent, we never wrote like non-standard business ever. We don't do that now ever. Like, it's just, it does teach you some of the initial underwriting, how to make a complete submission, how to just, you know, do things right. So we're very appreciative of our time with Allstate.
Yeah. Why do you think a couple is five in South Florida? It's like a South Florida thing. Cause you said a couple designations and you have at least five designations. So I'm wondering, is that like a South Florida thing where you say a couple and
I just want to brag. Well, look, okay. The CIC and the CRM, you can get both, you know, together.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I mean, I have the time. I might as well do that.
Yep.
So that was a two for one.
Yeah. The only one, if you threw the CPCU on the end of it, one, you'd run out of C's. I don't think you can use any more C's on LinkedIn.
I'm going to get rid of the last one. That's like the one that I got first. And it was like, it's nothing. It's not like real.
Yeah.
No, the CPCU
is crazy.
I passed the first one. And then I was just like, I did it when we had sold, and I was like, well, if I'm going to become an underwriter, you know, maybe that one is good for that. And I passed the first course, and then the second one, it was like actuarial stuff, and I'm like, I'm out,
Yeah.
like I'm out. And it's self-taught,
Yes.
so it's difficult,
Yeah, it's that one's very hard.
very
So
difficult.
at my wife's agency, one of the women who is she has a CP, she got her CPCU, and it took her like a decade. And that's not
Yeah.
because she's not brilliant. I mean, she's very, very, she's awesome at her job. She's awesome. I mean, to be honest with you, if I could hire her away from my wife, I would. But but it just was that hard and time
It's hard.
consuming and the self-study, and it was like a
And
huge deal when she got it.
then you buy the books, and then if you don't do it within that window, they could update the material. You got to rebuy it.
Yep.
So it's I was like, it's enough. It's
I
enough.
will say, and I'm going to develop some haters out there. And I don't mean it. I don't mean this in a negative sense. It is just an observation that I have made, is that people with the CPCU, I think, tend to struggle if they're not of the right disposition in sales, only because they're taught underwriting, which is say no. Here's all the reasons why you need to say no. Where sales is, here's all the reasons why I think you should say yes. And I have found, now again, I'm going to get 10 freaking LinkedIn DMs. I sell $1 million in revenue every year. Ryan, I got my CPCU. Yeah, I'm just saying in general, broad sweeping stroke, I feel like it is a designation, unlike the CIC, which I found incredibly helpful for sales,
Very.
incredibly helpful. And to a certain extent, I wish I still had. I'm a dumbass. And when I went to Trusted Choice,
Oh no.
I let it lapse. Yeah, I'm an idiot. And
Oh, that
I wish I could
hurts.
have kept it going. I know, I really do.
Yeah.
But I've just found the CPCU sometimes is a little no-based because we're a little underwriting heavy. So that's
I mean, I only did the first one, but I can understand how it's useful in that space more than on the sales side for sure.
Cool. So another thing I want to talk a little bit about the brand too, but the decision to go, so Allstate is obviously I mean, you have some commercial, but definitely, I'm sure you were writing tons of personal,
Personal,
right? And then you get the independent. I'm sure you picked up a little bit of commercial, but probably still did a lot of personal. When you started the bunker, you went fully commercial. Do you do
Well,
any personal at all?
we did. We started doing some commercial because that's what we know. We did some commercial at our last agency. We
Yep.
bought a book. It had a couple large accounts. So we know how to do commercial.
Yep.
But not like, well, that's why we joined Killing Commercial, not the middle market stuff of trying to get in there. Like, that's a whole nother thing that
Yep.
we did not do. But we did do, I did start with some homeowners, but you know, it's impossible to get appointments here,
Yeah.
almost nearly impossible. So I had some relationships with some of the homeowners carriers that had been with us since Allstate, and they came through for me real big.
That's
But
great.
as soon as COVID came, they shut down.
Yeah.
Everything is going to Citizens, which is the state, and I do not write with Citizens. I don't want to, and it's a hassle, and they pay you nothing.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm not going to open this agency to be a Citizens agency.
Yep.
So then I checked this morning. I have 4% of my book is personal. I have about 9 policies. That's it.
That's pretty similar to us. I actually just have, I have, it's funny. So I have this guy, he's a nice enough guy, but he has a $900 auto policy and a $481 homeowners policy with us. And he wants to talk to me specifically. And I said, "Hey, Robert, can you talk to Leslie on my team? She has the answers that you're looking for," which is basically like, dude, you're paying nothing for your insurance. Stay where you are. Like, especially because rates in New York, we just got an announcement, you know, we're probably going to see 15 to 20% increases in rates, which we're going to see around the country, but you know, that's all coming. So, but like, so it's just like, stay right where you are. You're in perfect. And she says it. And then he writes me this whole big email about how he's concerned about his
Thank you.
relationship with our agency. And I email my wife and I'm like, "Do you want this guy? Like, I will BOR this account to you right now. Like, you can have him. He's perfect. You know what I mean? Like, let him, like, you will crush this guy and he'll be happy with you. He's not gonna be happy with me." You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm with you. I feel like it's so difficult. The deeper I get into doing commercial and doing it better, right? I'm not gonna say I do it right yet because there's a lot of things I'd like to tweak, but certainly doing it better every day. Man, the less I'm less I'm it's I have so, zero interest in personal.
I have there and here the pre, yes, the premiums are big. They're big. I
Yeah.
mean, a homeowner's policy is 5 grand, right? But dealing with the mortgage brokers and the realtors and the closings, and I don't have the staff to
Yeah.
keep up with it and the service behind it and then the competition. It's just, I feel like there's not much extra value that you can add in that space personally. I
Yeah.
feel like in the commercial space, especially because we are in South Florida, there's a lot of people that come from other countries that have money and have and are coming here to open businesses, and they have no idea how anything works here.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have, I mean, we speak Spanish, all of us here speak Spanish, so we're able to help these people find an attorney, find an accountant, you know, set up their businesses from the ground up. Right. They can trust us. That's a
Yeah.
problem. They come here and they don't know who to trust. So I feel like and then it just makes me feel good because I feel like I'm actually helping someone. I'm not just, you
Yeah.
know, slinging a homeowner's policy. Here's your deductibles. You know, like it just, I like it way more.
Have you got into the startup scene at all? I know Miami is one of the fastest growing startup
Yeah.
and tech scenes in the entire country. Have you been able to tap into that at all?
I haven't yet, but it is on my list.
Yeah.
I've been noticing that and seeing the influx. I just saw like last week, I think it was that there's about like 16 companies coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that that's picking up.
I mean, I probably know a little bit too much about it. Not the specific companies. I just a couple of the podcasts that I listen to that are in the crypto space, not necessarily about crypto in particular, but they're just startup related. And these guys are just talking about how there are just so many companies that are either opening up large offices here or moving offices here, or that are like founders that would have normally started up in Silicon Valley are now founding in South Florida for a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, one, if you start your company there, you're not having to deal with California taxes and regulation. And the other side is it's just such a budding new scene. It's cool. And you're right there, Fort Lauderdale. You're basically right there. So
Oh
that's
yeah,
cool.
it's not far. Yeah, it's definitely on my list. Like I follow a couple hashtags on Instagram of like women in tech, Miami tech and stuff, and I'm seeing some of the events which I'm gonna go
Yeah, that's cool.
to pop up.
Yeah, they're I find that tech stuff is really interesting. It's I we don't have a ton of accounts. I say all this to you, and then obviously I'm not drinking my own Kool-Aid. We have New York, it's only 2.5 hours from here. I've gotten a few accounts from New York City that are startup tech related, and they are really fun to work on. I find it a very interesting class because
Who do you write them with?
So we've written Chubb and Hartford have been the majority. And then the tech E&O, Chubb has a tech E&O product. That's actually pretty good. I like it, but they tend to be fairly selective in who they'll write it with. So then I've pretty much written all the rest of the tech E&O has been with Beazley. So Beazley's been the tech E&O for us.
Yeah, I don't have any direct appointments like that. So I have to go through brokers. So it's a challenge for me to even get familiar. Like I asked for like specimens of the policies and stuff, but I live in like excess and surplus world down here, you know? So that's been a challenge for me to, you know, and then you have these underwriters and these brokers that say that they do it all. Yes, they can do it, but like that's why I started working with pro writers. And they've been very, very helpful. They're reliable. My underwriter there will take the time, explain things to me. Like I've really enjoyed it, my relationship so far with them because of that, because they're the specialists.
I really like pro writers. I use RT Specialty to get to Beazley because ProWriters doesn't have Beazley yet. But other than that Beazley relationship, I've gone to ProWriters quite a ProWriters has been the big one. I agree with you. I think Brian Thornton and oh geez, what is her name? Man, our direct underwriters, they have been very good, very professional. I like that they have multiple carriers that they can walk you through. I think that's tremendous. So I don't know. I felt like I feel bad that you don't have to, any direct appointments.
It's it
I want
is
to I can't as
it's a
we gotta
challenge.
find a way. There's gotta be a way, right? I mean, why would they say no? What are they saying no to? Just
Well, I
idiots.
mean, Progressive. I had a book with Progressive at my other agency for 12 years on their special tier commission. And they won't give me an appointment because I don't have 3 years of, because I'm not an agency owner for 3 years.
Progressive is the worst, though.
But I wrote business, good business with you. I'm on a higher tier commission for 12 years. So you're going to take someone that will show you that, okay, I've owned an agency for 3 years, but you've never seen me produce. That doesn't make any sense.
Is it the South? Is it the Southern Florida thing?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because none of these people write property here either. So it's like so even I have access to like the Hartford through Halcyon, which is also owned through Brown and Brown. So I don't like to use them. So, like I feel like I can't trust them with my stuff.
You know what might be a good fit for you is the Simon Agency, which is they're just a straight wholesaler out of New York City, but they have Next, they have Hartford, they have AmTrust, they have, and I'll tell you, for small liability policies, Next is great. Did you hook up with Coterie?
I did,
Yeah,
and
Coterie is great too.
I'm very happy that they added hired and unowned. Now I will use them.
Yes,
Yes,
that was, I know
that
the
was a
other thing
problem.
that I wanted them to add, and I think they're coming out with it in early 2022, is a supplement for sexual abuse for some of their like professional and sports and camp line, like sports camps. Like I wrote a tennis instructor the other day, who does events, and it was perfect. You get your GL, your PL, it's all together. Like it's super clean, super easy. But then we had to write the sexual abuse on like a separate form, which sucked. You know what I mean? Because then it's just like another thing, which, you know, but
I'm
now.
very happy though. I have them and I haven't used them because I need that hired and unowned.
I agree
But
with
I'm
you.
glad that they came out with it.
It is very difficult to write a general liability policy today and not have a hired and unowned endorsement on it. Like that's, you know, unless they have that separate auto policy, you know, you're, I don't know. I feel
Even
like
to
you
compete
are.
like so down here with the BOPs, right? It's a challenge because any of those BOP carriers, which there's not many still doing it, they won't do the wind. So it's like I can't move them there and then have not have the hired and unowned. I have to give them at least that and then I do the separate property.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That
I'm
makes a
very
lot of
happy that they
sense.
came out with that though. That's
Yeah,
good.
that was a good one. Well, I think Simon would be a good one. Well, I'll send you some other recommendations offline. I mean, these are not tried and these aren't like set in stone. They're just
Yeah, I
some
do
of
have
the
an
things.
AmTrust appointment. For the comp, I have some direct. I have an AmTrust and ICW. That's
AmTrust
how
is
I
good.
pay.
I mean, I
Yeah,
wish
but they won't do anything else.
AmTrust is oh, they haven't opened up the rest. Just beat them
Like,
over the head. Just
I could
pound
do
them
workers'
over the
comp.
head.
Yeah, I
Pound them over
just
the
need
head.
a daycare, right? A daycare. I have a direct appointment with AmTrust only for workers' comp. I got a quote through Wesco for the daycare through Halcyon. I can't do it direct.
Here's my method, and for marketing reps, I will literally email them every. I'll just make their life hell. I'll just email, 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 email. Here's another account you lost. Here's another account you lost. Here's another account you lost. And finally, they're just like,
I got to
whatever.
get more aggressive with
It's a button push for them. This is, you know what I
that.
mean? All the guy goes into his system, and he goes, the bunker open. I mean, it's not
Yeah.
like, and in their mind, they're like, oh, we need to make sure that she's gonna write enough comp with us. And it's like, come
I
on.
don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, and here's the other, this is what I said to him. I said, bro, if you open up your stupid comp restrictions and you make it so I can actually write accounts, I'll write accounts. But if you say the first nine things I sent to AmTrust, they declined. And I was like, guys, this is not how you start a relationship. Like, you know, you can't, you know, but they're like, well, you're new, so we got a heavier pen. I'm like, wait, just think about that. You want me to get rolling with you. You just sent me an email that said, hey, let's get rolling, right? Like some stupid marketing email. And you decline the first nine things because I'm new and you're unsure about my submissions. I'm like, where's the logic here? Where's the logic? Now, I will say, once we had these talks and stuff, we've been writing more and more with AmTrust, but I just find I don't know. I have no problem talking smack about how these carriers operate at our level, right? Like, because, and this is why you know it's a big game. Because if you like were swinging some like $3 million book, they would do anything that you wanted. They would, they're just
Of
like,
anything.
what do you want
And
us
that's
to
why
do? We'll do it.
it's like, I mean, I had it though. I did have it. You know,
you
they
have
can
someone's
rent
track record like you have, it should not be that
difficult. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't. But I mean, and Amtrak did come through, and it's like the same rep. Our rep is super nice, very helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I have them on my side. But it's that has been a challenge for me. You know, putting business on the books because my arms are tied.
Yeah, that extended relationship is tough. That's one of the reasons. So I will only work with excess lines brokers now who have quote bind issue platforms. So like we're really developing relationships with Pathpoint and RT Specialties version of that, which is RT Connector. So
yeah,
now
I just started using that.
I love these two platforms, and I won't say that I have a winner or loser yet. They both have advantages and disadvantages. I'm perfectly fine using both of them. I like both of them. I think both are doing a good job. I just think I'm very happy and excited about this movement to where like some of these smaller excess lines accounts and property accounts in particular, like I had a guy, he needed $50,000 in property coverage for chemicals that he stored that weren't necessarily hazardous, but they were, you know, chemicals. And you know, who the heck is going to write that? So, you know, it's excess lines. Well, normally now I got to put together a 125. I got to put together a 140 or whatever it is. And then, you know, and that's so much time. And with Connector, you just jump in, you know, 10 seconds later, you're like, oh, $700. Perfect. Let's go. And that's a game changer, I think,
it
for
is.
A lot of this stuff.
It is, especially for someone like me that I have everything I do has to wait. I have to wait.
Yeah.
Like I got this one really good underwriter now that he's young and he like, I have his cell phone. I can text him. I call him and he turns things around for me same day, which has had a substantial change in our agency because now he's my first choice.
Yeah.
I don't have like, even the prior relationships that I have, it's just like, I can't wait 2 days for a quote anymore. I just can't.
Yeah. I really struggle with the, I had a carrier give me the franchise value talk the other day. Just do you understand the franchise value of having an appointment with us? And I was like, no, what does that get me? You know what I mean? Like, what am I,
honestly,
how much am I, are you increasing the multiple on my, when someone buys me because I have an appointment with you? I don't know. Yeah. I guess I don't understand. And they were responding to my beef, which was, they were like, well, how come we're not getting as many submissions as we did earlier, you know, like when you first were starting? And I said, well, I've taken on a couple more carriers and they respond to me quicker and I could care less if I write them with them or you. And it's like, they were blown away. Like they were like, what do you mean you don't care? I'm like, I don't care if I place the business with you or them, and whoever gets back to me first is who gets the paper, you know, the words on the pieces of paper in your contract are almost verbatim to the words on the paper in their contract. So I don't care if it's with you or with them. It's whoever gets back to me first. If I got to wait 3 days for you and they're getting back to me in a day, they're getting the business. I don't care about franchise value. It doesn't mean anything to me.
This morning, I just got a declination for a workers' comp account that had an effective date of 10/22. We sent that to them in September. This morning, I sent it to Guillermo. I said, just in case you were waiting still, here it is. Here's your declination.
Well, here's the worst part. Someone was working on that.
Yes!
Like, that's the crazy part.
No.
There is someone at a carrier who was working on that account
this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And they're like, oh, I got to get this out. Declined, you know, and they're wasting. And you're like, I didn't even know that this was still out there.
They had already declined it. It's baffling. It's baffling.
And then you get the, again, we're just trashing carriers right now, but I think they need general ribbing. We're all partners. I get it. We all need each other, but like at the same point, like, I don't know. Like I got this from my chub guy the other day. Ryan, you don't understand. We're having a hard time staffing because of COVID. I'm like, bro, we're almost 24 months into this thing. Like you need to figure it out. Like you know what I mean? Like, come on, you're chub. Throw a freaking Indeed, ZipRecruiter, LinkedIn recruiting. Like, there you go. Go get some.
I mean, That's not an excuse at that level
Oh, I
at
just was
all.
like, bro, this is taking way too long. Ryan, you don't understand. He's the nicest guy too. He's the
You
nicest
don't
guy.
understand, right?
Yeah,
Like,
he's the nicest guy. I have no beef with him. I just I'm like, man, because I know it's not, he's not the one doing the staffing or
right.
making the decisions. He's just messenger. But I'm like, dude, I don't care.
No, everyone's having the same issues. You're not, I am, like, we're having the issues of finding people. So, I mean, we can't tell that to our customers. Sorry, I don't
So,
have any customers.
what stuff is working for you? Like what, and I don't mean that like a bunch of stuff isn't working. Just, you know, what is, so you've kind of had this very unique career in that you haven't had to go work for, you've been able to kind of craft and have a lot of autonomy and insight into running the business. And you've seen the personal lines and you've seen captive and you've seen independent, and now you're fully commercial, essentially your own agency. Like, what is the stuff that's really hitting home for you? What do you get excited about? You know, what is
So
it for you?
yeah, we joined Killing Commercial, and we have our, you know, what we're doing there, and that has really been the best thing that we've done, because I did some commercial, but it was also either we bought it in the book, it was a referral. We never went and got it ourselves, like those large middle market accounts. So learning how to do that has been very good, and I mean, COVID has been a terrible thing, but I think if COVID wouldn't have happened, I don't know that I would have done the, you know, made the investment into Killing Commercial, because I would have been busy doing homeowners policies. So I think that for our agency, you know, we used that time to really learn how to get it, our foot in the door and the process down and all of that stuff and the lingo to speak. We didn't get the account, but it was our first one of the Killing Commercial, you know, target that we were going after. And it was us versus Brown & Brown, which was the incumbent. And, you know, we asked all the right questions. We did, you know, we asked her, listen, if we're gonna, if she had a mod above a one, we did everything. It was textbook, you know. And then we asked the question, listen, you don't have an insurance problem, you know, you need risk management. They're gonna close your doors if you don't get this under control, because she had a lot of auto losses too. And she said no. She said she was not going to sign the BOR. And we were like, okay, well, we did it anyway. We felt like we needed to get that experience at that level. And also, especially going up against Brown and Brown and another really large agency down here in South Florida. So we were like, let's just go through the process and learn, and at least it gives us the confidence to ask the questions. She was helpful. She wasn't like, no, I'm not going to send you anything. I'm not going to sign that. She was helpful, giving us all the information we needed. And we even asked her, what's your connection to your Brown and Brown person? Because she had just gotten to them last year. So this was her first renewal with them. So we're like, okay, she's not connected. There's not like a relationship there. So, you know, she ended up staying with them. And then when we're sitting there presenting to her what we had, she's like, oh, you know, I do a lot of work for them. They're electricians. And we're like, why are you wasting your time then? I mean, you know, but that experience has already given us the knowledge of how to ask the questions and how to get our foot in the door. It was necessary. We learned a lot. It was a win for us anyway, because right after that, we've realized that the way we used to do commercial, where it's like someone would call us and be like, hey, you know, like I need a GL, I need this. Okay, well, here's some supplementals, which is torture. Here's some supplementals, fill it out, we'll talk. Now we got a phone call for a referral from a lady, an elevator company. She got hit with an $80,000 audit because her agent misrepresented the sales. And we're like, well, we can't help you until you hire us. You know, before I would have tried to fix it and then hope she gave me the policies. So I think that doing business this way is way more fun, way more fun, and obviously profitable, because I'm not going to work for you until you hire me. So I think that that's the biggest piece. I got a call last week. I sent an email saying, hey, I know you probably already got your renewal, but you're paying 40% more on your comp. Did you know? What has your agent told you? The lady called me crying on the phone. My agent is not helping me. I'm getting non-renewed. We need help. Can you help us? I got her non-renewal lifted because I wrote a narrative about them, loss runs, the mod report, everything, a submission this tall. And I got her non-renewal lifted, and that her agent couldn't do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That makes me feel I saved these people's business.
Yeah.
That warms my heart. And I was like, this is what I love to do, for sure.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Sorry to take you away from the episode, but as you know, we do not run ads on this show. And in exchange for that, I need your help. If you're loving this episode, if you enjoy this podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, I would love for you to subscribe, share, comment if you're on YouTube, leave a rating review if you're on Spotify or Apple iTunes, et cetera. This helps the show grow. It helps me bring more guests in. We have a tremendous lineup of people coming in, men and women who've done incredible things, sharing their stories around peak performance, leadership, growth, sales, the things that are going to help you grow as a person and grow your business. But they all check out comments, ratings, reviews. They check out all this information before they come on. So as I reach out to more and more people and want to bring them in and share their stories with you, I need your help. Share the show, subscribe if you're not subscribed, and I'd love for you to leave a comment about the show because I read all the comments. Or if you're on Apple or Spotify, leave a rating review of this show. I love you for listening to this show, and I hope you enjoy it listening as much as I do creating the show for you. All right, I'm out of here. Peace. Let's get back to the episode.
I think that's awesome. I think that's all. I love that part too. I love the, and I think that's probably why most of the people listening love what we do. Is when you get to like really be a true value provider, problem solver, it's great. What I struggle with as a business owner is that I want to help both types of people. So I also get off on building the systems and processes around helping that person who's like calling you, who's buying their first truck or their con, and like, man, can some of those be a pain in the ass? Like, oh, it can be such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But I wrote down really early in Rogue's like history, this concept of no customer left behind, that I'd been in so many rooms, and I'm not saying this is what you're saying by any regards, but I've been in so many rooms where agents would say things like, ah, those small accounts, like I don't want, or you know, excess lines, we don't do that, or you know, this stuff. And I completely get it. Like, I completely get why they say that. Like, it can be a hassle. And people who have $500 bops, you're making $50 on it, $60
And then you have to
total.
remind them for their payments.
Yes, and their payments, and they're still gonna call you. And I get all that. And then there's this other part of me, and maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a personality failing, but like the fact that agents look at that stuff and don't want it makes me want it because I see opportunity. Like, we're really getting into excess lines big time. And we're writing a lot of it, mostly because other agents don't want to deal with it. So,
It's not, so for example, we don't have a threshold, right?
yes.
And I'm not, we've even scaled down the people that we were going after because we feel like we can't provide value.
Yeah.
If, like for example, if they have, you know, a board that decides, I don't feel like I'm useful.
Yeah.
I'm not, which I probably shouldn't say that about myself or my
Yeah, 'cause you
agent.
probably would be.
I probably would be, but I just don't, I don't, I like to help. Like I said, you know, we have a manufacturer here that's from South America. It's a $100,000 account, him and his partner, and they call us for everything because they need help. That's
Yeah.
what that is what I love.
Yeah.
That business owner that has, you know, has the money to do it and but really needs some guidance.
Yeah.
That's really, and it's usually not, you know, I'm not making, you know, 25,000 in revenue on those accounts, but I'm okay with that. I'm
Yeah.
fine with that.
I'm with you. I think there's just a lot of, especially in small commercial, which everyone defines differently, but I think in small
Right.
commercial side, for me, for our agency, we define anything under 150,000 in premium as small commercial. That's our kind of our space. And then anything over 150, we would call middle market. I think that's still probably small for some, true, certainly for middle market shops, but for us, that's what the
I
threshold is.
would, I would say, yeah, mine's probably lower.
Well, like, we call select business is 25,000 in premium and under. That mm-hmm. is very transactional. Yeah. It is. What's the problem? Here's the solution. Do you want it or you don't want it? We have a very defined process, very defined funnel. It's step by step by step by step by step. It's, you know what I mean? Like it is get through it fast. And that 25,000 and under, we call that select. Anything over 25,000 in premium, we call Rogue Premier. And that is what we call true small business. Anything under 25,000 is probably micro. I don't know. You know what I mean? I guess micro really is whatever. Every defined, this is how we define it. But then over that 150, we would have to put some thought into, and we only have one account at that level right now. We would have to put some real thought today's version of Rogue into whether or not we're willing to take that on, only because I would be like you, like I would be nervous that we're not set up to handle that kind of account today.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not set up for it. And not saying one day, I mean, the goal is to be set up for it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
right now sure. I'm not. And then like how much service comes, especially if they're contractors, if they're manufacturers here, the service wise, it's better.
Yep.
But if it's a contractor that size, the service is heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy.
We have one that we charge. We actually do a policy fee on, because they do so many friggin' CRIs.
I have such mixed emotions on the fees, and
I have come around to them.
I just told them last week, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not meant to make money, but I feel bad. I feel like it's my job to do that.
I used to 100% agree with you. Policy fees are for scoundrels and the whole thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way I felt. Like, why are you feeing this? We get paid a commission. And I will say, you know, again, this is not advocating one tool over another, but Agency Zoom released this service pipeline feature, which tracks time per task. So now I can actually see if we put a task in one of the service pipelines, how long it takes to go through, how many we've had, how many touches. It's pretty cool. It's not like Salesforce in depth, but it's pretty in depth.
Yeah.
And two things that I saw were CUI requests and billing were our two biggest time sucks. Solved a lot of the billing issues by moving over to Ascend, which is just a payment tool, which we really like, helped us a lot. But for the COIs, there's some ways to streamline it and we're working on those, but man, it's just some of these accounts. We're talking like 3-4 COIs a day for one account.
Uh-huh.
But when I see that, I saw that, and I just said to them, I said, God, I said to this, because it's comp. So we're only making like 9%, and I'm doing the math on this. And I'm like, we're getting killed, like absolutely killed.
And so you don't have a portal. You don't have like a self-service portal.
We're on now.
I don't have one yet either.
We're on now, certs.
Okay.
People have been giving me a lot of crap lately for trashing now certs.
So I don't have any. Them. So, and I have Hawksoft as my managing system. They have a portal, I guess, but I haven't.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that something like Glovebox is awesome. I just assume it's going to take a while, cause I know they're not there yet. So I'm not really, there is a thing. It is not great. So we basically, okay. RVA.
So you're doing it. Yeah.
Our VA that we have through Agency VA, his number one, two, and three responsibility in our agency is COIs. So when one comes in, he drops whatever else he's doing, unless he's also doing a COI at that point, and he does that COI. So we're able to do all right since he's basically, but that's a full human body task to basically one thing. And then he just backfills some smaller tasks when he has time. And so we policy feed that account and they didn't even blink at it. They're like, oh, that makes sense. I was actually waiting for that because we send so many requests to you. Didn't even blink. And I was like, so am I on the dark side now or am I an idiot? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with it. Bad, honestly. I feel like I could use that against the agency that does charge them.
Now, the difference is because I thought about that too, because this is a tough topic, and I get that. And there's people that are out there that are listening to this going, I policy fee everything. And there's people out there that are going, I would never policy fee anything. Here's what I would say. If one of my competitors took this account and didn't charge a policy fee, I would be fine with it, because I would know that they were losing money.
They're losing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done the math. And yeah. I don't think the policy fee was outrageous. It's not like I did some crazy number.
Yeah.
It just, I did the math on the amount of time and how much we were making, and we were losing money without the policy fee. So
for a rewrite, I understand. I'm down with the policy fee, because if you cancel and you're one of those people, you deserve it. I'm down with that. I feel like it's just, I'm struggling with it. And you know, I've, the podcast that you had with James Jenkins was so, so good. The one about, like, are you running a business or are you running an insurance agency?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since I heard that podcast, it is a struggle, because I am an insurance agent first.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this side, and I'm trying to do this side better. You know, and like now at renewal time, I sit with my renewalist and I think, okay, well, what am I making on this account? Is it worth it? I'm thinking in revenue now, which it's been a shift, but I feel like it multiplies pretty quickly too with the policy fees. So it really does add up. So I'm trying to think.
I think it's, you just set a pol. I think if you can get a close calculation on revenue for a specific account, I think it's just a calculation. I mean, I would not have, in all transparency to everyone listening, I would not have policy feed this account if the math didn't make it unprofitable. And the commission on the policy per the time that it was taking with the number of COIs we were getting, it just made it unprofitable. Mm-hmm. And that's with the VA who it's not like we're paying a full-time client success person who's licensed in the US. So if this was a client success person, someone here in the States, and we were paying states rates, we would have been getting slaughtered. I mean, it was, you know, so that was the calculation. To the thing with James Jenkins, I think I think this is the hardest part of our business, is one, the self-awareness, and obviously you already have it, of am I a producer agency owner or an agency owner who sometimes has to produce? I think that's a really, I think that's very tough self-awareness question for a lot of people. I recently had to let a producer, one of my producers, go. Thankfully I hired another one on the same day who just started today, who I'm super excited. Shout out to Will. So like the last 2 weeks has been all hands on deck. One, I don't know if you've ever, and you probably have, and many people probably have, but this is the first time I had to have to look through a producer's email inbox who you had to let go. It's like you're essentially like knifing yourself in the chest like every 30 seconds, because you're like, wow, there's a bind order he just never forwarded onto the service team. What the beep? You know what I mean? You're like, as you're chugging freaking whiskey on the side to calm
your nerves.
So
many things undone.
Yeah, you're like, How is this person existing? Like, no wonder.
Well, that's why like, I just finished reading Traction. And I mean, there's two of us here, you know, so it's a lot where I'm trying to like scale it down to me for what I can implement right now.
Yes.
But that's one of the things too, about like firing quickly.
Yep.
Like if you were back and forth about letting this person go, I mean, how much did you miss of what they didn't do?
Yes.
Like
here's the crazy part. So and I'll just, I'm candid about numbers, but like, so his goal was like 65,000 in premium, right? Which to me felt like
commercial.
Yeah. Felt like a fucking layup. Mm-hmm. Layup. I mean, we have 215 leads a month that come into our agency inbound. This is a layup. This is like Michael Jordan putting a perfect pass right on your hands as you're going up into the, I mean, this is like, it doesn't get any more easy. Yeah. This might be Michael Jordan shooting a three, and all you have to do is like tap it on the way in. And if you could jump that high. And, you know, he was not hitting that number, not even close. And so whatever, no big deal. You know, I'm training and I'm trying, and I'm not the best trainer. So some of this is on me and whatever. And to Traction's point, I think it was more of a right butt, wrong seat kind of situation. Like, I think he's going to have a tremendous career in the insurance industry. And I actually would give him a very positive review. It just wasn't right for us, but that's okay. Well, sure shit. In 2 weeks, we have our first two weeks of me producing on these leads. Oh. We have our first 100,000 premium month in our history, so 17 months in. Whack, there's six figures in premium just in 2 weeks of me working. I'm having panic attacks because I'm like, we could have been doing this for months and months and months and be how much further along. I probably could have had another two or three producers by now if we had been producing at that level. And like now I'm having panic attacks. Now I'm like questioning
everything,
life decisions.
Yeah, everything. What do you do? I mean, what's the solution? Do you audit? How do you, not you specifically, but what is the solution? Do you audit them?
Solution. So it's a really good question. I think I made a couple mistakes that if I were a third party consultant, I think would have been very obvious. You need to have someone who's a sales access as a true sales manager. Now that would have had to have been me, right? But someone in your agency has to be a sales manager. How many calls did you make today? Mm-hmm. How did they go? What's going on? What are you at? Like that really annoying shit that sales managers do. It's important because it forces people to stay on it, and you can kind of figure out what's happening sooner. Two, I was a poor mentor. So I take full credit for that. I'm obviously doing a few other things that not every agency owner does. And some of those things, I didn't slow down and be a real mentor. And I should have been that, and I wasn't. And I take full responsibility for that. So I think that
that's good because you have the power to change that aspect of it. Yes. And then,
I think if I had done those two things, if those two things were different, I would have caught and or moved, gone a different direction earlier and or possibly been able to right the ship and everything would have been fine. So, I think it was a couple different things. It was a really good lesson as a leader. I'm glad it happened early.
Yeah.
It does make me want to run headfirst into a wall thinking about, oh my God, stepping into this maelstrom for 2 weeks, I was able to do this much. Like, oh my God, but whatever. So you said you had questions for me. I want to be respectful of your time. So whatever you have, fire away.
So I have to book time on your calendar. You told me to a while back ago, and I have not, about SEO.
Yeah.
And I just, do you have a crypto calendar?
Do I have a crypto?
where I could ask you questions about that. Is it too late for me to get into it? Like, what's the deal?
Cryptocurrency?
My brother-in-law's constantly telling me, see, what are you waiting for?
Yeah. Okay. So if you want to get into crypto, the cool thing about crypto is it's never too late. Do you like to go to the casino?
No, I don't.
Do you bet on sports?
I don't do any of that.
Don't do any of that? Okay. No. All right. So the good news is you're not a degenerate gambler. Bad news is you won't be attracted to the 24 hour nature of the gambling that is cryptocurrency. No. That being said, so the cool thing about crypto is that no one really has any idea what it's going to be. That being said, because I think we're in like the top of the first inning, if this were a baseball analogy. For crypto, like it is, we are just getting started. Like people will be like, oh, well in 2017, all these things were 1/100th of what the value is today. But in 2017, this was such a long shot. You had to be a crazy person to put any substantial amount of money in. And the people who you see on like the TV that have gotten these, like, changed their whole life. Like they were living in a gutter and now they're like have their own yacht.
Yeah.
Those are crazy people. Those are legit. Those people are legit bonkers. And they just cashed a 1 in a trillion lottery ticket. Okay. But despite all that,
yeah.
Today, I think one, it's a little more stable. I think I don't think the technology and the networks that are being built are going away. What they're going to be, how much are they going to be valued at, which ones are going to be the winners and losers. You can have opinions, and I certainly do. I just don't know that anyone knows for sure. Bitcoin mm-hmm. seems like it's not going away. That feels like, you know, Ethereum, there's a couple others that feel like they're not going away. What they're ultimately valued at, do they go to $1 million? Do they go down to $10? I don't know that anyone knows, but it does feel like they're going to be here. The technology itself, which I've really nerded out on, is incredibly interesting, incredibly interesting. And I actually had this guy, I'm going to forget his name, but he's from Steady State DeFi Insurance. Mm-hmm. He was on the podcast. His episode is maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago, somewhere in the last few months. And he said some really cool shit on the air. The stuff that he said off the air was even more incredible. Just, and I can't really share exactly what it was, other than he, and again, he's 25 years old, who the hell knows, but he did seem pretty brilliant to me. He's just like, we're literally just getting started. So I would say take some small amount of money, very small, whatever that is for you, and get a Coinbase account and like buy some Bitcoin, buy some Ethereum, buy some Cardano, like just buy like 4 or 5 of the blue chip kind of cryptocurrencies and just watch them. And then what's naturally going to happen is you're going to do a little research, and then that's going to turn you on to something else. And then, you know, if something fun happens and one of them goes crazy, you win. But, I have my bets on the table. I haven't bought in a while. I've kind of just been letting it ride, but, I don't know. It's interesting. It's just,
yeah, I know it's a whole thing, but I feel like it's not that I don't trust it. I feel like I don't have the time to dedicate to it.
Yeah. And that part I get.
And like, you're up at all hours and doing stuff. I guess if you're really heavily investing in it, like,
you know, it's been not, it's also, I started reading about it probably about this time last year. So it's just been slow, you know, slow. Like I listen to a couple podcasts that just, you know, when I'm on the car, I'll catch 20 minutes of a show talking about something. And then I don't know, I just pick it up. And I also, I have a really hard time personally when something like catches my interest, not like completely nerding out on it. Like it's like a tick, like I can't stop reading about it because what if that next piece of knowledge is the piece of knowledge that changes everything for me? Like I don't, you know, and that's
a rabbit hole.
That's a crazy way to think, but I don't know.
I get it. No, I get that.
Yeah. Okay. What other?
Because you could be so close, you know, just that one more nugget and it could just set it off. I get it.
XRP army for life. Just if anyone's listening knows what that means. I still believe in XRP big time. What other questions?
Yeah, I had a question. I wanted to know, like, give me, what's your best piece of advice for the protege? I'm one of the coaches. Give me some insight.
Yes. So I would say, and I mean this not negatively towards anyone in particular, but I would say figure out who's there to win early. That doesn't mean you can't help everybody, but I found that there were a couple people that I invested a couple substantial amounts of time in who then all of a sudden were like, I don't feel like doing this, and just like bailed. And you're like, oh, wow, that was 3 or 4 hours of my life. And you just decided to pull the parachute, you know, whatever. That's kind of the way it is. But like, I would say the time spent with Keating, cause he took it very seriously from the very beginning, was wholly bought in, and, you know, he didn't end up winning. But obviously now Carruthers was awesome and gave all three of the finalists, memberships. I really enjoyed being part of his journey, just the questions and watching him work through things, and then listening to who's your co-coach?
We don't know yet.
Oh, you don't know yet. Okay. So Ricky Hayter was the co-coach for our team, and listening to the way, I found it very valuable listening to the way. So Ryan would ask us a question or whatever, he'd have a problem and we'd be working through it. And Ricky would have a different spin, and then really trying to think like, you know, how do I feel about that? And I learned a ton from Ricky as well, which was awesome. And it was just a pleasure. The whole experience was a pleasure because David's great. The community's great. I think it is well worth investing time into the process. I guess.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to learn. Like anyone I'm paired with, I'm excited to learn from because yeah. I love to learn and you know, that's what's great about this industry, right? Is everyone can achieve success however they want.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different roadmap to it.
Yeah.
So there's always things that you can learn from anyone else, which is great. Are you going to IAOA?
I wish I was. I am not.
Oh no.
I know. It is nothing to do with IAOA. I will be there in spirit. I promise. I have to go to Arkansas on the 5th for a speaking gig that was supposed to happen in the spring of 2020. And they rescheduled it for this week on the 5th. So that was my primary obligation. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't want anyone to think I am. Yeah. But that, and then I've been on the road the last 2 weeks as well. So this will be 3 weeks in a row. So it was like the idea of going, you know, 2 weeks ago, last week, and then going to IAOA this week, and then parlaying IAOA into this speaking gig at the end. It was more than I can handle with bringing on a new producer and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there was like this little part of me last night, actually, where I was like, wonder how much plane tickets are.
You can at least come to the boot camp, right?
Yeah, night. I'm going to miss the boot camp. It's a bummer, but no, I am not going to be there. That should be a tremendous time.
I'm excited. Yeah. It's about a 3-hour drive for us. So we're leaving tomorrow.
What now? Okay. So you're Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. So you're going north and west.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to be right across Alligator Alley from you in Naples on the 9th.
The 9th.
Yeah. So my wife's family has a house in Naples. Her dad. And once or twice a year we go down there and it's it's like this golf community.
Yeah.
It's set away from the ocean and I love the ocean, but it's very quiet. Cause you know, you get closer to the coast, it just gets noisier. And, you can just kind of like woosah and like just feel the stress, like fall off you. And,
how long are you going for?
I actually don't know. 5 or 6 days. We usually don't go for a full week. It's hard. Cause I mean, you get it, right? Like my wife owns an agency too.
Mm-hmm.
I own agencies. So it's two separate agencies. So it's not even like we can co-work, right? It's two separate entities. And it's just tough to be away from it from that long. So we try to get the woosah, spend some time, and then come home and get back after it, I guess.
Yeah, Naples, we went there. Actually, it was this year for our anniversary. Our brother-in-law and our friends rented us an Airbnb and we went and stayed there. It's really nice and very, very relaxing. And the sunsets are beautiful. And you can see dolphins like in the ocean. In Marco Island is beautiful. And
yeah.
What do you drink wine?
I do a little, I guess. Okay. I'm not really a wine drinker, but.
Okay. Well, there's a really good wine shop there. I don't know if you're into like natural wines, but there's a really good little boutique wine shop there in Naples and we drive to it from here.
Oh, really?
That's cool. Yeah. And the guy's
my wife
so
drinks
cool.
wine. So maybe I take her there.
It's like funky wines though. Just, I don't know if she likes conventional wines or they're like sulfate free, low intervention.
The
guy's awesome.
I have never referred to my wife as funky before.
Wife is a beast. Okay. Okay.
I have referred to her as that before.
Yeah. She is fit.
Yes. She
that's awesome.
She has figured out the optimal way for her to relieve the stress of her day-to-day life. And she enjoys it. So God, no matter how hard I work out, it doesn't matter. I look like a slug next to her. Jeez. She texted me today. I'm going to work out for the second time today. I worked out this morning and so did she. And then she texted me. She's like, you want to go to Orange Theory? Because she has Orange Theory for like the cardio part. She's like, you want to go to Orange Theory this afternoon? I'm like, no. She's like, no. Well, I'm going at 4 and I think you should go because I think it'll be fun. And I'm like, and she's like, I signed you up. You're going. I'll see you there at 4. I was like, oh, shoot. Now I got to go.
Her asking you was just a
yes,
way.
Yeah. It was more like she was being polite, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, that's so cool. I want to be respectful of your time. I appreciate you so much. I'm glad we did this. As your agency evolves and things goes on, we got to have you back on again. I got a whole series of questions I wanted to ask you about. Your branding and the marketing and all that. We never get to any of that stuff.
We didn't even get to it.
That's a great reason to have you back on the show, which we'll do in a few months and it'll be fun. But I just appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on. I love what you're doing. And just thank you. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you. You know, I had met you at Elevate. And I think that convention really did, you did such a good job there and you've done so much for our industry and agents and, you know, you and Paradiso, the GNN guys, and you know, Carruthers, Jason Cass. You guys have really made an impact. And I've seen I've been here since I graduated high school. Mm. You know, the agency is shifting in the right, or the industry is shifting in the right direction. I think that you guys have been working hard to make ripples and it's happened.
Thank you.
And
so much.
It helps people like us, you know, that are young and that are coming in with not a lot of support. I mean, I do have that platform, but for other agency owners, you know, that don't have that, you know, you guys have been a really good asset to our industry and thank you. And I'm glad that we've kind of become friends.
Yeah. No, me too. And
yeah. And I hope you enjoy your trip in Naples and
All right.
And the next convention we'll see you at then.
Yes, for sure. And I definitely, again, I'm not going for any other reason that I can't go. Sometimes people read into things. Please do not. This is only because I want to remain married to my very fit wife. Because if I travel that much, she will not.
Also, it's like you're coming here and then by the ninth, you have to be back in Naples. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot. You're right there. You might as well just stay.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care, Ryan. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yes.